Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Stephen Davis has come a long way since he grew up holding part-time jobs in Milwaukee supermarkets. Davis graduated from UW-Milwaukee in 1980 and, in the time since, has risen to the top of the restaurant world, or at least one corner of it.
Today, Davis is CEO of Bob Evans Farms, which sells food products in nearly every state and operates almost 600 restaurants in 19 states, but none in Wisconsin.
Davis's role with a $1.7 billion company and his career leading other restaurant chains earned him honors from his alma mater recently, and he had a chance to stop by the Lake Effect studio as well. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a wonderful opportunity to come back.
Your college education started in undergraduate work at UW-Milwaukee, but if my understanding is right, your experience in business has always been in food-related industries. What attracted you to that sector of the business world?
Well, as much as I'd like to say it was a long-term strategic plan, it was actually fairly fortuitous. My first real job was when I was 16 years old and I worked for the old National Food Store. Then went to work at Century Foods. Started out as a bagger and eventually worked my way into produce. This is in high school. And then when I started UWM, I was continuing my work there part-time and going to school full-time. So I started out in the food business. Great first job, retail, customer exposure and the like. After I got my degree at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, I got a job with Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company. I was an intern there my junior and senior year during the summers and during the school year. But interestingly enough, I really enjoyed data processing and computer programming, the insurance industry. But after I got my MBA at the University of Chicago, I wound up getting a job at Kraft. And ever since then, I've been in the food business. One of the students asked me, they said, well, you know, how did you ask me the same question you did? And I looked at him. I said, I like to eat. I love food. I said, if you're in my business, you don't love food, then you're in the wrong place. It's a fun industry, you know, whether it's the restaurants or, you know, supermarkets, because ironically, those are the two main businesses of Bob Evans. So as much as I'd like to say it was a long-term strategic plan, it is totally fortuitous. 75% of our business is restaurants. 25% is the packaged goods business. So we get a little bit of both.
Well, and so as much as it being fortuitous and you enjoying the work, it's also maybe especially stable in these days in the sense that this is a business that can't be done virtually. Food itself is never going to be replaced with an app.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to eat over an application. You can order online or you can order, but at the end of the day, the restaurant's going to prepare the food. The nice thing about the food industry, I always tell people about Bob Evans, they say, why do you have a food business and why do you have a restaurant business? And quite honestly, that's how the company was started. Bob Evans made a better brand of sausage. Literally, he used to almost sell it from his front porch. And his wife said, well, can you have people stop ringing the doorbell and asking for sausage? And he said, fine, I'll open up a restaurant and get people to try my sausage that way.
And this was when?
This is 1953 when the company was incorporated. So this is probably the early 50s. So Bob was a visionary and started the company as a better brand of sausage and led to a better brand of restaurants.
Well, and so the way that the restaurant chain and the food product business today drive each other is a similar model, what we might recognize in a company like Starbucks?
Very similar. It's funny you drew that as an analogy. People always ask, you know, why do you have the two together? And I always tell people, I say, you're going to eat one of two places. You're going to eat on or off premise. If you're eating at home, you're probably acquiring the food from a supermarket. You can also buy food from a restaurant and take it home. So we look at it more broadly. We look at it as we're competing for share of stomach. So if you got a dollar to spend and you're going to spend it on food, there's a good chance that Bob Evans can participate in your purchase. Very, very few companies have the same model that we do, but we're vertically integrated with our sausage business. We make our own sausage, but that's the sausage that's consumed in the restaurants. We also make sausage for other quick service chains. If you go to Speedway gas stations, you know, they have the quick meals in the morning. That breakfast sandwich is made by Bob Evans. So we've built up the credibility amongst our own loyal following. And so now when companies want a better brand of sausage, they come to us. Now, they're not going to get the same sausage that we sell in our restaurant, but it's pretty good quality stuff.
Well, and you referenced the quick serve chains, the things like Speedway and other chains along those lines. Talk about the niche that the Bob Evans restaurants fill. This is not fast food, but are you in competition with fast food restaurants, or what's the distinction of where Bob Evans is in the restaurant industry?
So there's the quick service industry, which obviously is the drive-through along with the smaller dining rooms. We compete in what's called family dining. Family dining restaurants typically don't serve alcohol. So this would be in the same competitive set with Cracker Barrel, with Denny's, with IHOP, and then some of the other regional players who don't serve alcohol. And then the other difference is serving all three day parts, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A lot of casual dining chains that we compete with, the Applebee's, Olive Garden, those are places that people say that they go when they don't go to Bob Evans. They don't serve breakfast. You know, a lot of our business is obviously done on Saturday and Sunday morning. But a big growth part of our business has been the takeout business. And if you're going to be in the takeout business, a lot of times the food's not consumed in the car. It's consumed when you get home. And so what's the integrity of the food when you get it home? So things like dressing, mashed potatoes, green beans, turkey. It carries extremely well, and then it microwaves well. I mean, it's being in the pizza business, and the worst thing you can do to a slice of pizza is put it in the microwave for too long because then it's not even edible anymore. But, you know, the nice thing about our food is people feel good about what we serve. You know, it's the comfort food that, you know, you aspire to make.
It must be a challenge, though, to be able to design a restaurant in such a way that the food works when it's going from the kitchen to the table in the dining room within a few seconds, and also has to work if it is going from the kitchen to someone's home maybe 25, 30, 35 minutes later.
Well, it's funny you brought that up. So when I first got to the company in 2006, about 5 to 6% of our business was takeout. Now it's almost 13 to 14%. So this is a consumer trend that we're addressing. You know, you've got dual career couples. The typical question that's always asked between a husband and wife at 4 o'clock is, "What's for dinner?" And the typical answer is, "I don't have a clue."
I feel so much better to hear somebody say that than besides just me and my wife.
And then you go through the battery. Well, what about this? What about that? And I always tell people at Bob Evans, there's no veto. So if you say, well, gee, I want pizza. Well, I had pizza at school. Or, you know, how about Chinese? Well, I had Chinese yesterday. But usually when I say to the family, I'm going to Bob Evans, it's, oh, bring me the cranberry pecan chicken salad, or I want hotcakes, or I want turkey and dressing. There's usually no veto. So that's why it's grown so nicely, because we can satisfy all the palates of everybody in the household. And then the quality of the food really does travel well. We just remodeled over 500 restaurants. And very few restaurants have gone into their chain and totally remodeled. Usually the remodeling takes place over a very long period of time, especially if it's a franchise organization. We're all company owned, so we strategically wanted to make it more conducive for our guests to get the takeout business. So when we remodeled the restaurants, we actually put in a better takeout section. We put in technology. We made the ingress and egress better for the guests. We actually put a designated carryout area. So if you're there for carryout, you don't have to fight through the rest of the restaurant to get your carryout order, because you want to get in, get your food, and get out.
What are the big unknowns, and what are the certainties in your part of the industry?
The certainty is people are going to eat. So we're competing for share of stomach. The uncertainties have a lot to do with things that sometimes are outside of our control. A few years back when we had the economic collapse, people started cutting back on their discretionary spending. Restaurant is a discretionary expenditure, so there was a significant hit to the category. Last year, weather in the Midwest, and you know, we operate in 19 states. I always tell people we start at the beginning of the snow belt and we end at the end of the snow belt. So last year was an extraordinarily tough year for us. But we put all that behind us, and so we're focused on driving the restaurant business. We're focused on growing our food products business. And I always tell the team, control what you can control.
You have been CEO since, I think, 2006.
Correct.
In the recent past, you have had to deal with some challenges within a faction of shareholders who think the company should have different priorities. How, as a leader, do you simultaneously work in a competitive field like the restaurant and food industry, where there is obviously external competition, and simultaneously deal with competition from within?
No, it's interesting. You brought that up. You want to stay focused. So When this activity started, we sat down as a board and as a management team. And what I said to the board was, I said, look, I said, we got to stay focused on driving the business. That's what we control. And so I'm going to spend most of my time during the day, you know, working through business issues like what new products, where to open restaurants, you know, how do we grow the food products business, how do we reward shareholders, and a lot of investor outreach as well. And then, quite honestly, during the late hours and the weekends, that's where I'd have conference calls, board meetings, and the like. So I said to the board, I said, the way we're going to work through this is I'm just going to have to roll up my sleeves, work longer hours. I said, but the people who are going to work on this are going to be myself, the board, the CFO, and our chief legal officer. And then the rest of the team just needs to stay focused on driving the business, and that model seems to be working pretty well for us.
What was the atmosphere like for African Americans in business as you were going through business school in the 80s? And have you seen it change at all in the time since?
I would say absolutely, because all you got to do is and I'll give the restaurant and food service industry a lot of kudos for the breadth of diversity. If you look recently at Darden, you had Clarence Otis, who's African American. You have myself. You have Lenny Comer, who's at Jack in the Box. And then a very, very broad representation of female CEOs. So if you go to Dine Equity, you've got Julia Stewart. If you go to Cracker Barrel, you've got Sandy. And then when you go down to Bloomin' Brands, you've got Liz, who is doing a fabulous job. So in terms of opportunity, and that's the one thing I like about the restaurant industry, you can really prove yourself. You can differentiate yourself. And in any retail environment, it's fast paced. And if things are going well, they're very visible. They show up in the sales. They show up in the profits. They show up in the stock price. Specifically for African Americans, I'll never forget when I was a young kid and we used to get Ebony Magazine. And Ebony Magazine would showcase on the cover, you know, different profiles of successful African Americans. But the news was these people have achieved the rank of vice president. Then a few years later, it was they've achieved the rank of senior vice president. Then it was president. I'm proud to say that there are a fair number of African-American CEOs running very big enterprises. Ken Chenault probably holds the record right now for the longest tenure of any CEO in the position that he's held at American Express. Donald Arnold is running Carnival Cruise Lines. There's another gentleman who's running Pfizer, Ken Frazier. He's African-American, and there's probably some people I'm leaving out. So the opportunities are there not only in the food service industry but in corporate America.
Do you feel, is there even with so many good examples out there, is there some role you feel you play in mentoring the next generation?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was in an organization called Inroads, which provides internships for up-and-coming minority youth interested in careers in business and engineering. And this organization started in 1970. We at Bob Evans and some other companies have hosted, fundraisers and, opportunities to network. And so I always use that as my opportunity to reach back. Yes, the answer is it is my responsibility. There are a lot of people that helped me along the way. And, I can only pay them back by thanking them, but I can really pay them back by, reaching out and helping others, achieve some of the things that I've been so blessed to do.
So let me put you on the spot for just a moment here. You
sure.
have been in and around the restaurant and food industries for more than two decades at this point. Do you cook?
You know where I get to cook? I get to cook vicariously through my chefs. At least once, maybe twice a month, we have what I'll call mega food showing. So if we're doing a test market or a new product launch, I get a chance to spend at least 2 to 3 hours with our chefs. And so what they'll do is they'll serve food. Now, the beauty of it is I get to change their recipes. I get to alter what they're doing without the mess and the cleanup. Because I'll tell you what, the one thing I love about cooking is I love the eating. But when I'm done, I'm like, God, look at all these pots of pans. We have a house with two dishwashers just so we can get through that. My wife and I share the cooking duties. So I'm more of the protein guy. So I can barbecue like nobody's tomorrow. I have some pretty good, a couple good casserole recipes. And my wife has just done some amazing recipes. And she's an experimenter and she'll take things. And so we complement each other in the way we cook. Do I cook as much as I'd like to? Probably not. I am a huge takeout person. And that's probably why I pushed takeout so hard at Bob Evans, because it is that typical call at 4 o'clock, you know, what are you going to eat? So, and a lot of times you just can't get to a restaurant. But you do want – you don't want to cook. You do want the food. And you want food that you can feel good about feeding your families. So this whole takeout phenomena is really consumer driven. And we're blessed in that we now have the locations, the food, the menu. And another area we're starting to get into is what we'll call bulk catering. We have a lot of businesses we found that once a month they'll do celebrations and bring in food, and they get an allowance to do it. And at Bob Evans, we set up a menu where you can feed through our catering business for $5 a person. And it's breakfast, it's lunch, it's dinner. We can really stretch the food the way your food dollar. And so that's been a growing part of the business. For example, Walmart in some stores, about 75 stores in the state of Ohio, the day before Thanksgiving, they're doing a holiday meal with their employees. Well, what do they want? They want turkey and dressing and all the fixings. Well, that's right in our sweet spot. So we now have a partnership with them. We just signed a deal with one of the I can't name the name because it's not public, but it's a large chain of timeshares, and they don't serve food. And so they came to us, and the team was very creative, and so now we got a multi-unit deal with them. So this whole notion of our place or yours is what Bob Evans is all about. And I have my hands all over the menu. So it's funny. I'll go into a restaurant, and I'll say to the server, I say, hey, what's new and exciting? She's like, oh, is this? Have you tried this? It's really good. And I said, well, I've tried four different iterations of it, and I've enjoyed every one. And the hardest part was, which one do we go with?
Well, and so when you're in a place like Milwaukee where there are no Bob Evans restaurants, is it odd to go into a different restaurant, or do you look at it as, if not opposition research, certainly a chance to see what else is being done?
Oh, absolutely the latter, because everybody is creative in the food industry. You can always learn something. I mean, I just came from a luncheon and they put out these little wonderful desserts. And it was a little sampler, and I said, we don't have anything like that. We have wonderful desserts, but we don't have a sampler. So, you're always looking for ideas. So one of the benefits of coming to Milwaukee is I get a chance to see, some of the other things that are taking place, not only with our near-end competition, because the Cracker Barrels, the IHOPs, and the Denny's are here, but you also have, I think it's the Omega restaurant chain and, some other folks that are doing some very creative things. So I like to go in there and kind of look around and see the Pancake House is here. I know that's a favorite, so I like to just kind of cruise around other people's menus and see what people are eating.
You want to talk trash about any of the others?
Yeah, we're one of the friendly guys. We have the philosophy that, our competition does a good job. We think that we can do better. It's up to us to execute better. It's all about food, but it's also about the service. And one of the things that all of our restaurant managers have is a balanced scorecard. It's service, it's food, it's employee retention, and it's profit. And you got to balance all of those things. So we're all trying to achieve the same thing. We're all competing with each other. So periodically I look at what our competition's doing. I'm like, why didn't we think of that? And there are some things that all of a sudden I'll look and I say, hey, wait a minute, I know where they got that idea from. So we're just all having fun trying to, as I tell people, we're just trying to sell sausage, pancakes, and turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and have fun doing it.
Well, Steve Davis, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Well, thank you so much. And again, go Panthers. Proud to be back and proud to be a Panther.
Milwaukee native Steve Davis is the CEO of Bob Evans Farms Incorporated, which operates nearly 600 restaurants in 19 states and sells retail food products at stores in 49 states and Canada. He's also a UW-Milwaukee alum and was in town last month to receive the UWM Alumni Association's Lifetime Achievement Award.
We'll take one more break, and then Frank Lloyd Wright. He's best known for his architectural designs, but a new book argues that it's his thinking itself that was truly visionary. We'll learn more when Lake Effect returns right after this.